Welcome back. This is Chicken Philosophy, The I Ching, Part 6. How's everybody doing? So I realized that I didn't finish my reading, or Gwydion didn't finish his reading. And the interesting thing is, like, so when you do a proper reading, right, you flip 3 coins, and then any of the changes, you read the line for that line, right? I mean, okay, if what I'm saying isn't making sense, then click the playlist and start with episode 1. Because I'm assuming that you already know the stuff that... Because I'm new to this. If you're new to this too, then you want to start with episode 1 because we build layers. And so I'm jumping in on the 5th floor of a building. I mean, you know what I mean? So yeah, it changes because it changes into something else. It changes the figure to a different figure. So we did 1 figure, then read the changes, and then we're like, okay, that's it. And then we went into the retrospective review of the 14 of the 15. It'll make more sense after you get used to how things are here. Anyway, but the fun thing is, we did that reading at the end of 2025. And now we're going to finish the reading in the beginning of 2026, right? So that's fun. So if I recall correctly, and I'm going on memory because I'm pretty sure I remember. If I recall correctly, the hexagram we got was Earth, right? And so, and the line 1 and line 3 were 6. Lines 2, 4, 5, and 6 were 8. So the changes are line 1 and line 3. So that will change this figure from Earth to this, which is, give me a moment. So the trigram on top is still the Earth trigram, but the trigram on bottom is the Fire trigram, which we haven't gotten to. So, but nonetheless, the overall figure is... Or no, it's Li, which is Fire, is number 36. Earth on top, Fire on the bottom, 36. All right, so this is the second half of the reading, and it was a reading for Chicken Philosophy. And this, so it's interesting. It's interesting because Gwydion did the first half, and now Edward is doing the second half. So we'll see. Ming Yi. Darkening of the light. Darkness reigns in the external world now. Disengage from negative feelings and maintain your inner light. Something about directing traffic in the direction it was already going. Thanks, Jesus. I'll read the... This is a time... It's a Transformations reference. My dad said Jesus was directing traffic in the direction it was already going. You're wondering. It's a random thing to say. This is a time when darkness and inferior energies surround you. The image is that of the sun completely swallowed by the earth. Remember, Earth was the only light left is that inside your own heart, and you are counseled to return to it. Maintain it, and quietly nourish yourself with it. And didn't Solomon in Proverbs say that I should open the wellspring of my heart and let it flow into the sewer? Something like that? So yeah, I'll do that too. It is in dark moments that a correct attitude is most important. Oh, well, then, you know, I'm fucked, so. No. If we fight against the darkness, we are swallowed by it and suffer great misfortune. Now, I'm not trying to be counter-revolutionary here. Those of you out there fighting the darkness, keep up the good fight! Bye! Are they gone? All right, yeah, but for the rest of us, fucking just turn off the news, man. Seriously. Sometimes I feel like it's like a soccer match, just to keep it universal. Americans are familiar with soccer. The rest of the world calls it football, but you know. And it's like you can get, there's only so riled up you can get. How are we going to get, well, okay, if he kicks the ball to him, and or she kicks the ball to her and then bounces it off her head, right, and then the goalie's over there, then get the ball in on that side while the goalie's on that side, and we've scored a fucking point. Yay, victory, the world is better. Oh, they're still playing. Oh, the ball's over there now. Oh no, okay, what's on the news now? Okay, let's talk about that. Until the day we die. It's a continuous self, like, they make pluribus to exaggerate it and say, oh, thank God we're not pluribus, you know, like, yeah, but you are, though, you know. This is apple cinnamon tea, and the incense for today is Nag Champa. That divine pymander was something. Ish, right? I don't know. I felt like it was. But I think that was a personal one. I think sometimes it's even more for me than it is the rest of the time. I always talk about, oh, I'm only doing this for myself. But that one really was only for myself. Yeah, it seems like when there's a lot of like heaviness on something, it's like, okay, I'm gonna get through this. Yeah, we got through it. Oh yeah, okay, it was good. Crickets. Okay. All right. But, I don't know. Maybe it's just, we'll see. Let's see how it pans out over these next few days. I'm just curious. Right. We are swallowed by it and suffer great misfortune. If we react to the lack of visible progress with despair and negativity, we extinguish our own inner light and block the aid of the creative with a capital C. If we try to persuade others that they must return to the light, we exhaust ourselves in vain now. Yes. On point, I Ching. On point. And it's also on point that I forgot to do it that day and I'm doing it today instead. Gosh. Did I tell you this is Nag Champa? It's a small Nag Champa, but it's very potent. It's very good from Newton. Newton's. Anyway. In a time such as this, it is wise to adopt a stance of outer disengagement and inner perseverance. Do not focus on or interact with the negative influences around you. This only strengthens their grip on you. Step aside, yield, let go. Allow people and events to pass without attachment. Direct your attention inside to your inner light, your devotion to what is right, your conversation with the higher power. Progress may be slow, but there will indeed be progress. Remember that much of the work of the higher power is hidden from us, and that we enable and assist it by remaining detached, accepting, and reserved in the face of negative influences. Yeah. So what we're doing, what we're in the middle of, what we're still in the process of is going over the trigrams. And so let's put up the trigrams we have so far. I'm going to let editor, because sometimes I point and then it's like, oh, that's an obnoxious place to put that. So I'm just going to sit right here in the middle of the screen and editor Edward's going to decide how to arrange these. So we've got heaven. Remember that lady? And thunder, right? And water, right? Okay, so yesterday, last time on I Ching, we ended up doing Earth. Remember that? And we read two of the lines, two of the changes lines, but we didn't read the other four. So to finish Earth, we're gonna read all six, including the ones that I've already read. They're short. So this is Ku'un, the receptive. If you missed, you know, part five, then go check out part five. So, putting the Earth hexagram above us and the other hexagram that we have to think about over there. So the first line, cease resistance to the course of events, avoid defensive or aggressive postures. The earlier one returns to quiet reliance on proper principles, the better. So that's not necessarily every time you get the Earth hexagram. That's only when you roll a six on line one, right? So second line, this one we didn't read last time because we got an eight, not a six, right? Yeah. Second line, the solution to every situation is always available. By remaining open, innocent, and moderate, you allow the creative to aid you. Do less, not more. I mean, in a lot of cases, even though these are all very subtly, you know, specific and different, it seems like a lot of it can be good advice that's applicable at any time, you know. But it does kind of say, okay, now is the time to, you know, okay, now is the time for this. So it's like, all right. So regardless of whether it's getting it right or not, the idea that sometimes is the time for this and sometimes is the time for that is a nice kind of flow, like a dance relationship with the macrocosm. Like, okay, now is the time for me to be quiet. You know, I never get to that point, of course. And now is the time to speak out, you know, like, I don't, whatever. All right, so third line. We read this last time. Vanity is an obstacle to the expression of our superior selves. Hold to inner truth without regard for popular opinion. Sincerity and humility open the way to a good fortune that cannot enter where arrogance flourishes. All right. Okay, now, fourth line. We didn't read this last time because we got an eight for the fourth line. Danger. The greatest possible reticence and reserve are in order. Resistance to events will result in a downfall. Now, there is a thing, like, there's a playful spirit with which one can go into a thing and have an overall positive experience. But that same thing, whether it be I Ching, tarot, or astrology. For a lot of folk in India, astrology is similar in feeling to, like, you know, those camps that people in, like, the red states will send their kids to if they're gay? Like, we're gonna send you to this camp and they're gonna make you straight. And, you know, how kind of torturous that is and conservative that is. That's how a lot of people feel about astrology here in India. Because, you know, you meet someone, you like them, you get along, the pundit looks at the astrological charts and tells you, you cannot marry this person. Your parents say, you will throw you out on the street before we'll allow you to marry this person because of the fucking astrological charts. So Piyu sometimes has to remind herself that it's a playful thing for example, Americans. It's not always playful when somebody allows themselves to become caged in by it and you know, be like a hamster who creates their own habit trail or terrarium and bumps up against the walls. I always think of that scene in Pee-wee's Big Adventure at the beginning where he gets the little piece of paper that says, "Don't go outside today." And then he breaks the rules and goes outside and loses his bicycle, but then has a great adventure and gets a movie made after him. So good thing he didn't listen to astrology, right? Or the I Ching. So when it says something like danger, then, you know, like, so you can easily imagine someone getting, like, hit the hair on the back of their neck raising up, like, oh no, the coin landed on that, you know, like, now I'm afraid, you know. And then it's kind of like, oh, reminder, this isn't always fun, you know, like, or it has a dark side to it, right? Danger. The greatest possible reticence and reserve are in order. Resistance to events will result in a downfall. All right. I mean, there are times in life when that's true, whether it happens to be when the coins land that way or not is a different conversation. Fifth line. True devotion to the good is unconcerned with what others may think or do. Concentrate not on having an influence, but on doing the work of the sage. Again, that sounds like something that is like a general message that's all pervasive throughout all of these ideas, which is kind of like a, interesting. These core ideas at the root of a cultural identity kind of make one go, I'm gonna take a second look at how history has unfolded, you know, keeping in mind that all billion people involved may have this in their subconscious or conscious. Sixth line. It is dangerous to engage in the thoughts and actions of the ego. Of course, this is what Brian Walker's interpretation of his. It is dangerous to engage in the thoughts and actions of the ego. Indulgence, because ego, isn't that like a Freud thing? So like, what? Indulgence of negative emotions brings misfortune. Persevere in receptivity, reticence, and humility. I just mean like when someone makes up a word yesterday or a concept and then you apply it backwards for 40,000 years and on other different places in the world where they don't have that word and say, what's a word that means this? Oh, we kind of have a word a little bit like that, the Sanskrit word thus and such. Oh, right. Okay, so that's your word for ego. Oh, what's that word? Isn't that the Greek word for me? Yeah. But what we mean is, you know, it's like, okay, or what Freud meant. Anyway, so that's what we got for the second half. No. That's finishing Earth. So now we have four. We've got four of the trigrams figured out by reading about the hexagrams that correspond with those four trigrams. Right. Nice and organized today, isn't it? So next up, we have mountain. Now mountain, I mean, just in the way these are listed, mountain comes before earth. So mountain looks like this. It's, if you... He's saying it from the bottom up, it's broken, broken, solid. So, in order to learn about mountain, we're going to, first of all, let's give it a nice image. So that's going to be our image. I think that's from the Himalayas. That's a picture I took in 2018, around March, right? February or something. March. It was right before, just a few days before, I took a bus into India. And I've been there ever since, except for sometimes when I dip out real quick, one reason or the other. Okay, so let's put mountain on top of mountain. And we got a hexagram that I'm assuming is called mountain. And it is hexagram number 52. Ken, keeping still, mountain. Not like mountain, like I-N apostrophe, like mountain. Hey, you been mountain today? Like getting up on a horse? Nothing weird. Get your mind out of the gutter. No, I haven't been mountain today. We're talking about mountain. It's a noun, a place. Still your emotions. through meditation. Okay. Seems like good advice. Again, any time of any day. Right? Receiving this hexagram is, unless, like, you know, if you're abusing somebody and they're like, I'm angry at you for abusing me, and then you say, still your emotions through meditation, then you're just being an asshole, right? No, like, they let them express their emotion, right? Receiving this hexagram is a sign that you need to quiet your emotions so that you can think clearly. To answer the clamorings of the ego with action now is to invite misfortune. The I Ching counsels non-action and the stilling of the emotions through meditation. Sorry. It is in the nature of having a body to have strong feelings and impulses. Actually, I find they're stronger when you're out of your body. However, if we allow our thinking to be controlled by them, we cannot act with the gentleness, neutrality, and graceful wisdom of the sage. I don't know why I'm into long pauses today. Instead, we move rashly when we ought to keep still, or we solidify when we ought to remain fluid. I need a new chair, don't I? This one makes too much noise. Therefore, it is necessary to quiet the body and its inferior elements so that our thoughts and actions may be clear and balanced. Three things are advised. First, sit quietly in a self-supporting position with your back straight. There's a natural curvature to the spine. What you should do is, like, extend your spine and find the point where you're not exerting effort to stay up. Like, okay, forward. Okay, no, that's forward. That's back. That's left. That's right. Okay, right here, the least amount of effort is necessary to remain fully erect, in the spine, and then relax your shoulders. All right, there you go. Straight? No. Don't get out a ruler and try to make your spine straight. As a yoga teacher, we get trained not to use the wrong words, but as the translator of the I Ching, Brian Walker, is like, yes, straight. And maybe, I don't know, maybe maybe what he's translating is like, yes, straight. Like a ruler. It's fine. Keep reading, Edward. Yes, right. First, yes, back straight and eyes closed. Second, observe the flow of your bodily emotions. Do not judge or resist them. Don't resist your bodily emotions. Hey, I'm not saying the I Ching is saying it. Remember in Divine Pymander Part 4, the guy with the reflection in the river? Do that. No, I'm not saying to do that. I'm not saying not to do that. I'm just saying, Udayin says, Edward, just keep going. Do not judge or... Yeah, we read that. The simple practice of watching them come, linger, and go without acting on them. Oh, you're not supposed to act on them. Technically, that would be acting on them, wouldn't it? Okay. Allows you to gradually separate them from your thought processes. Third, turn your inner conflicts over to the deity for a resolution. Can be the non-deity deity for any atheists that might be watching. Turn it over to the nothing, to the void. Turn it over to the universe, to your subconscious, can personify your subconscious as a lady if you're into Carl Jung, if you want to. Sorry. The help of the higher power, with an HP capitalized, is only to make available to those who ask for it in a disciplined way. I ask for... How do you ask for it in a disciplined way? Who make an offering of their stillness and mindfulness. Okay. Okay. Sure. It works. No complaints. Through meditation, we reduce the influence of the inferior elements and make it possible for the sage to assist us. Keep still as a mountain now, and you will be rewarded with good fortune. All right, so the first line, if you roll it, whatever, if you get a change for the first line, it is not a time to move. It is easier to still yourself now than after action has been initiated. Remain innocent, quiet, and detached. Did you hear the one about the girl who was pregnant and they were like, are you sexually active? And she's like, no. And they're like, what? Is she lying to us? And he's like, no, I swear to God, I just lay there. It's not okay, Edward. Second line. There is a great desire to move, but the time is not right. Let others do what they will, and hold to stillness and acceptance. This enables the sage to do his work. Third line. Do not attempt to force a good feeling into place. Patiently let go of doubt, fear, anger, and distrust. The sage aids those who quietly accept the unknown, with a capital U. Fourth line. A heart at rest leads to a mind at rest. Deepening your acceptance leads to good fortune. Whatever you want, just tell people it leads to good fortune. Letting me go first leads to good fortune. Letting me have your sandwich leads to good... Sorry. I'm sorry. Fifth line. I'm not sorry. I want to be honest, you know. So. Fifth line. Restrain your speech. An active tongue betrays a restless mind. I think as in, like, it lets people know that your mind is restless. If your tongue is like, you know. Tranquility on every level is advised. Sixth line. Perseverance in stillness, in both thought and deed, forms a noble heart. The ultimate fruit of a noble heart is complete peace of mind. All right. So now we have a better idea about these trigrams. Okay, now we're going to add a layer. So you remember heaven? Heaven is Qian. I'm probably not pronouncing this correctly, but you're going to learn it incorrectly the way I'm learning it. So Qian, heaven, Chen. Thunder. So wherever that is on the screen that just popped up, that's Chen. Khan. K apostrophe A-N. Is it Khan? Khan? Khan. I'll just say Khan. Can? Con. We'll go with con. Isn't that C-O-N? No. That's water. And then mountain, that's Ken. Ken. Mountain. You can think of Ken, like Barbie and Ken. Ken turning into a mountain. Or Ken mountain a horse or whatever. And finally, Earth. Kun. Or Kun. K-apostrophe-U-N. Kun. So those are the trigrams that we've gone over so far on Chicken Philosophy. Next time on Chicken Philosophy. I mean, next time on the I Ching, part 7, will be BT going over wind. And depending on how verbose or how long he decides to make it, maybe he'll finish the trigrams. I feel like I don't want to rush through the trigrams because I actually want to absorb and remember them. So, but we'll see. We'll try to make it a minimum half hour. And he'll definitely go over wind and maybe probably fire and maybe lake. I don't know. There's no river. There was a point where one of us was talking about, oh yeah, they got water, they got a lake, they got a river, they got an ocean. No, they've got water and lake. All right. Cool. That was that. Next up on the greater wheel that includes Chicken Philosophy and Buddhist Books podcast, we've got a 6 episode coming up. We did Shingon, and it was about the Vajra spikes, which, I don't know, it got a little interesting-ish. I'm not selling it very well, am I? So next time we're going to be back to the Tipitaka. We're doing Kula Vaga 1. It'll be Kula Vaga 1 Part 3, if I'm not mistaken. The Lesser Division. Anyway, once we're done with that, we'll come back and it'll be Gwydion reading Mechan Revelations. A Christmas color episode. Red and green. Christmas colors. It's also the colors of the Imperator. That's the guy whose ring BT wears. Anyway, all right. That's it. We're done. This is the episode. It finished. And so I'm gonna wrap it up now. Anything else? Anything I'm leaving out? Anything I want to mention? No? I don't think so. It's not exactly a new shirt, but it was. With Pew's clothes in luggage somewhere. And so it's as if it were new. I don't know if I've ever worn it before, but it's definitely my size. So, I mean, at some point we got it, and yeah, this might be my first time wearing this shirt. Huh. Aren't you interested in these things? It's definitely, we've passed the time where I should definitely go ahead and go.